Hello and welcome to the third installment of the Beaver Dam Podcast. I'm Reed Mouse, joined along here with Tyler Avila. Tyler, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Thanks for asking, Reed.
We have a very special installment of the Beaver Dam this week. We actually sat down with a couple of athletes to talk about what happened in the week of Beaver sports. We had some ups, we had some downs. The first person we actually got to talk to is a fellow broadcasting and journalism major like Tyler and myself, and he's a four-year starter of the football team, and he's the captain on the football team, the defensive side, at linebacker, Gino Spadaro. I know your season hasn't started off the right way. You guys are 0-2, took two pretty tough losses. This seemed to be a big year for the Beavers. What's going on right now?
You know, I think we're just young right now. We got a lot of inexperienced guys on the defensive side of the ball. You know, when you look at the defense, you got me, who's played a lot of time. Isaac Zikafus has played a lot of time. Kobe Russell, one of our corners, played a lot of time. And Tyler Showalter, the safety. But you really look at everybody else. You know, this is really the first two games of college football for everybody else on the defensive side of the ball. So you look at that. I mean, there's going to be some growing pains a little bit. Offensively, we have, you know, a new coordinator. So there's just going to be some time that it takes for us to, you know, kind of get rolling. But, I mean, we haven't reached anywhere near our potential yet. We're going to be really good. I'm 100% confident in that. And our coaches will get us going.
Diving a little bit deeper into the defense, you're the defensive side of the ball's captain. You were elected captain earlier this year. You guys gave up nearly 300 rushing yards in the first half on Saturday. What was the key to them basically running so well?
Well, you know, you look at the game on Saturday, and, you know, it was tough. You know, we came in, and the goal in mind was to stop the run, and, you know, we didn't do that. But you also look at the two teams that we just played, Wooster and Trine, and, you know, we won't see teams like that from here on out, teams that like to just load the box and just run the ball down your throat. We won't see that for a while now, the rest of the season. You know, as a team, we're not really accustomed to playing teams like that.
Yeah.
You know, we're more of an athletic defense. We're more athletic than we are, you know, big and strong, you know, I would say. You know, we'll be better fit for teams that we will play in our conference starting this upcoming week.
Yeah, it seemed as though, I mean, you mentioned some big players on your defense, Isaac Zikafus, yourself. It seemed as though, and Isaac Zikafus was Defensive Player of the Year last year, preseason All-American, it seems as though they were isolating him out of the plays. I mean, I remember at halftime, he didn't even have three tackles yet.
Right.
Well, was that the case? Was that their game plan?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I can take it back to when Ryan Elker was here. You're starting to see some of the same stuff that they did against Elker with Zikafus. I mean, you'll see it that teams will just strictly run away from him.
Yeah.
Because if you run to him, he's probably going to make the play.
Even double team him.
Right, exactly.
Taking him out of the play.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the best defensive lineman in the country, if you ask me. You know, I don't think that there's a single offensive lineman in this country that can block him man to man. And so that he's going to cause a lot of problems for teams, especially when, you know, we start playing teams in our conference, just like when teams start spreading the ball out a little bit, and, you know, it's gonna allow Zik to get, you know, to the passer a little bit more. Team's game plan for him and try to run away from him.
We're going to switch sides now. You guys were sluggish on the offensive side of the ball. Your team has a lot of talent on the front side. Colby Spies, who's been seen prominent time over the past few years, has a great arm. And then your receiving core of Micah Roberson, Keon Camden, Lucas Espita. You've got the tools. What's with the sluggishness on offense?
Well, you know, I mean, as a defensive player, I don't know what goes on in the offensive meeting rooms at all. I don't really see the offense practice too much. We're on separate sides of the field. You know, if I just had to take a guess, it would just be, you know, a brand new offensive coordinator. We didn't have, we had Coach Krebs in spring ball, but, you know, if you only have spring ball with a guy, I mean, you don't get that much in. And so it's just going to take time. There's going to be growing pains with that. I remember when I first got here, Coach D's first year, there was definitely growing pains with learning the defense and with them learning the offense as well. And so, you know, once guys start getting comfortable with the plays and start, you know, gelling with that stuff, you know, we'll probably be able to open up the playbook a little more. And they're going to get a hang of it. I mean, I'm 100% confident. Like you said, we got the athletes out there. I mean, all it takes is just them starting to get comfortable and get rolling.
Ian O'Donnell went down this past week and wasn't able to be on the line. I know he was the captain on the line. I know he's a big piece of that line. How much did that hurt you guys?
Well, I mean, anytime you lose a first-team all-conference guy, it's definitely going to hurt, you know, no matter what position they play. He was definitely, like you said, he was the leader of the offensive line. So when you see a guy like that go down, it definitely hurts a little bit. But, you know, next man up. I'm confident in every guy that we got on this team. And I know Ian will still be a leader on the sideline for us, and he'll keep that offensive line together.
I keep hearing the word confidence, Avi, and I actually saw you tweet something yesterday that you have absolute and complete faith in your team. Yeah. Just dive into what that means a little bit.
I mean, I just know what we're capable of. I see it every day in practice, and I know the guys that we got on this team. Like you mentioned, Isaac Zikafoos. I mentioned Kobe Russell and guys like that, Kobe Spies, Michael Roberson, Lucas. I just know that we have the athletes to achieve our goals. I know that, you know, we got the caliber to do it. We got the coaches to do it. I mean, it's just going to take time. And, you know, we're young, like I said. Got a lot of young guys on that defense, a lot of inexperienced guys on offense a little bit, like especially the offensive line. And so once everyone starts getting comfortable, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, you start your conference schedule this week, and actually your first two conference games are against two better teams in the conference, Mount St. Joe and, of course, Franklin, who's won the conference for quite some time now.
Yep.
Give me just what you're looking, like what the scouting report is really quickly on Mount St. Joe.
Well, you know, Mount St. Joe, unlike the two teams that we just played, they'll spread you out a little bit.
They have a pretty good quarterback, if I recall.
Yeah, they do. Yep, their quarterback's a solid, solid football player. You know, probably one of the better quarterbacks we'll play all year. They like to spread the ball out. Defensively, I know that they have a really, really good defense. You know, like I said, anytime that, you know, put our team out there on the field, I think we got a chance. So I think we'll be all right.
All right. Well, I wish you the best of luck. Thanks for coming in, Gino.
No problem. Thank you.
Now, the football team didn't have the outcome that they were looking for this past weekend, but the women's soccer team actually had an incredible moment where they had their first victory not only of the 2017 campaign, but of over the last 2 years as well, as they won 2-1 over Grace Bible School. We actually got to sit down with sophomore Lauren Foster Wheeler, and she was talking about what led to the victory.
First half was kind of tough because we weren't connecting passes as well, and at halftime we made sure that we refocused, made sure we got our passes cleaned up. So second half we came in, we attacked, and Grace Bible was getting tired. You could even hear their players complaining about how tired they were. So we just... our fitness was able to, well, it was higher, and so we were able to, well, I was able to finish the goal on the left side.
Yeah, and so what led to Skylar Lyman's game-winning goal?
There was a ball played over the top, a pass to Tasha Upshaw, and she was able to, she reached out, slightly tapped it just right in front, no offsides, and Skylar was able to run on it and finish it.
This is the first win in your college career. So what does this win mean to you?
It just shows that we're growing as a program because being recruited, Coach Rhonda, she told me, she said this is a rebuilding process. We're going to try to make Bluffton women's soccer back on the map like they were in 2011. And so I was wanting that challenge. I'm not afraid to back down from a challenge. So I was wanting to help out a program.
Moving on to men's soccer, men actually had their closest game of the season against Edgewood. They lost 3-2. They went down 2-0 in the first half and was actually able to cut the deficit in half just moments before halftime. Then, of course, Edgewood added some insurance, and then Ezekiel Davis put one down to make it 3-2. Unfortunately, they could not get the game knotted up, so they lost 3-2, but it is a tremendous stride forward going for this men's soccer team, their closest game of the season. They're actually looking to get their first win of the season against the Muskingum University. They travel to Muskingum on Wednesday at 5. So good luck to the men's soccer team. Now into the world of cross country, Tyler Vila is going to take it away.
The men's and women's cross country team competed Saturday in a field of 18 teams at the Great Lakes Pre-Regional Invitational hosted by Ohio Wesleyan University. Leading the men was sophomore Dakota Frost, who finished 12th out of 212 runners in the 8K with a time of 26:19. The men play 16 out of 18 teams. Sophomore Connor Gullick plays 122nd, and junior transfer Wyatt Baer plays 123rd, finishing less than 1/10 of a second apart. Rounding out the top five was Jonah Ecker and Jacob Hill.
16th out of 18 teams, that's not the start. And losing Chris Lyons, that's something that you would kind of expect, losing your best runner a place like this.
You're exactly right. Losing Chris Lyons was a complete and total blow to the chin, like we've mentioned last week. Not having the depth on the men's cross-country team is going to place them low in team rankings. So it's not good, but it's also not bad either. They're still building forward. Their lead runner right now is a sophomore, so he has years to improve. And same with the rest of their top five. They got a sophomore placing second on the team, junior transfer. And then we got two more juniors rounding out the top five in Jonah Eckert and Jacob Hill.
How'd the women's two do this weekend?
The women's team was led by sophomore Alexis Cash, who finished 47th out of an even larger women's field of 237 runners in the 6K with a time of 24.01. Jenny Madsen crossed the line in 65th place, just 23 seconds behind Cash with a time of 24.24. Rounding out the top five was freshman Kimmy Hedrick, Bailey Barrington, and Ari Cox. Both teams traveled to Clifton Heights Golf Course in Tiffin this Saturday to compete in the Tiffelberg Open, hosted by Heidelberg University. The men's race starts at 11 a.m., followed by the women's at noon.
On to golf. The golf team went to the Dick Park Invitational in Indianapolis, Indiana, and finished last place out of all the teams there. But Jackson Wolf had the best score on the team. He shot 5 over on round 2 and shot 24 over on the entire weekend. Mason Jones, who actually played very well in their last outing, didn't fare so well. He had the best score in the first round, shooting an 84, but fell all the way back to shooting a 97. He shot 37 over on the weekend. Not the comeback that the Bluffton men's wanted, but nonetheless, still improving, still getting closer to their goals.
I mean, you're exactly right. The men are going to just keep improving because they're all freshmen. They don't have any sophomores, juniors, or seniors. Like, the women has Mercedes as a senior. So them just being out there on the greens and just shooting and doing everything that they could possibly do just to improve their game will eventually help them.
And there's a bright side. Mason Jones, who shot really well in their last tournament, and then Jackson Wolf, who shot well this tournament, they're kind of becoming a more well-rounded team. Moving on to women's, we actually got to sit down and talk with senior Mercedes Burns. How's the team look this early in the season?
We haven't been too bad. Obviously, it's definitely new this year. This is the first time we've had a golf team in quite a few years. So it's been a big step in just like trying to find people to kind of form a team. But, and mm-hmm. also just kind of practices and everything else like that. Like, we just kind of have to focus on what the bigger picture is.
So who from the team has impressed you this far in the season?
The freshmen have actually really stepped up from the beginning of the season in a general sense, just because going into it, it's a lot different than high school.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, for instance, we'll play from the red tees, but in college, we play either from the golds or the whites and sometimes even the blues. So those are actually a big difference.
Yeah,
for us.
Absolutely. What are some of the roles of being the only upperclassman on the team that you've experienced?
I've had to take in part a lot of responsibility, especially because we only have one coach. Like, we don't even have a GA. We don't have anybody else. And he's also obviously the coach for the guys. So that's a big step for him. Also, being a part of the softball team, I've kind of gotten a sense of like work ethic and how you should prepare a team and stuff like that. So kind of just pushing the girls to, you know, even on our off day, going to the driving mm-hmm. range at least, or going to play holes, just constantly practicing because, I mean, we're not where we need to be, but I think we can get better, so.
Yeah, speaking of getting better, what are some challenges with this team moving forward?
I think our biggest challenge is being positive. Mm-hmm. Like, when we're down on the course, if we didn't have a good hole, that we just kind of need to focus and bring ourselves up and just focus on, like, the next hole and that we can do better and just kind of prepare ourselves mentally.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any sort of preparation that you do from week to week, depending on the course?
Actually, there is. We are at Heidelberg this weekend.
Yep.
And so Coach had told us that their greens are actually faster than Bluffton's, which is a very big step for us because Bluffton's are
very, very fast. Very quick.
So we're actually going to another course tomorrow to practice because at Heidelberg, they have a lot of sand traps and stuff like that. So he wants us to get practice with those because most of our courses haven't had that yet.
What does it mean to be a part of this team's inaugural season?
I think it's very big for us because, I mean, we're just trying to show everybody that, you know, we aren't as bad as sometimes we may seem or something like that. But it's just a big part in trying to prepare another Beaver family mm-hmm. in a general sense because, I mean, a lot of our teams are very close on campus. And so trying to make the golf team a part of that is big for me.
The men's next tournament is Sunday, September 24th through Monday the 25th at the Finley Invitational. And the women's next tournament is this Saturday, September 26th through Sunday the 17th at Heidelberg Invitational.
Moving on to volleyball, the team didn't have the week that they wanted. After going 4-1 their first week, they took 3 hits on the chin at the Heidelberg tournament. They faced Wittenberg, Thomas More, and Heidelberg. Wittenberg's actually ranked 4th in the nation. And in those 3 games, they're just able to win 1 set. They went 1-9, lost all 3 games, and they are brought right back to a 4-4 record.
playing non-conference teams and going 4-4, that's outstanding.
This team has a tradition of winning four straight conference tournaments. So 4-4 is not the place where they wanted to be heading into this week. They face tough competition. Heidelberg, Wittenberg, Thomas More, known notoriously for being fantastic volleyball schools. But I think Bluffton has enough of a culture to be considered a great volleyball school as well. And losing 9 sets and just winning 1 isn't the week that they wanted. But that's the reason that they play tough competition. It's to get better and to face these tough teams so they know what's ahead of them when the tournament comes around.
You're exactly right. We talked to Coach Yarnell 2 weeks ago. He said that youth was going to be a problem coming into the tough competitions that they scheduled for the non-conference. So getting those girls ready for the HCAC and that tough competition within the conference is just going to help them improve.
You mentioned youth, and these are the games where youth really takes struggles against. Are these better teams, probably with some upperclassmen, with some more talent? That's where youth really shows its inexperience. That's where you want age. But that's, like I said, just to reiterate on what we both have been saying, that's why you play these games. It's to give your team the experience heading into the conference tournament and heading into conference games. We actually had the pleasure with sitting down with Defensive Player of the Year and Libero senior Sydney Moeller. You guys jumped out to a hot start, but you had a rough week last week. What were some of the challenges of last week?
A lot of our players are actually injured, so we're kind of battling with injuries right now, playing unhealthy, and we are really down with energy. We don't play intense over the week, so intensity is something we really need to pick up on as we practice this week.
Well, you have some injuries. Who are some of the injured players, and who's the players that are filling those roles in?
Our two important players are Bethany Martini and Aaron Weisgarber, two of our injured players. They've been playing on their injuries, so they're not 100%, but they're doing their best.
All right, so what are some of the differences of this team compared to teams of the past few years?
We have a couple players stepping up to big roles, so they're still learning. Whereas we had Mackenzie McFarlane and Lauren Weisgarber, who were two outstanding players last year, we had two underclassmen fill in for them, so they're taking on a big role this year.
Well, you're talking about class and like being upperclassmen, lowerclassmen. How has your role changed on the team now being a senior?
I've taken on more of a leadership role, being more vocal this year, definitely. I've learned from, like I said, Mackenzie and Lauren. Last year, they taught me how to be a good leader. So just taking them under my wing and trying to lead them as best I can.
And what are some of the areas that can be improved upon moving forward into conference and moving on further than that?
Skill-wise, definitely transition defensively with blocking, and our defensive transition in the back row needs to pick up, especially against the faster teams that we're going to be playing. Hanover's real fast in the conference, so we need to be ready for that.
Who are some players that have really impressed you thus far in the season? Maybe some freshmen or some underclassmen where you didn't expect them to have as good of a year?
Ramey Bauer came in. She's a freshman this year. Like I said, she's taking a big role. She's still learning how to play fast with us. And then Carly Lester also stepped in, played outside last year, but now she's a middle, so she's learning too.
Are you aware that you are close to breaking the all-time digs record? Has that crept into your mind at all? Like, how does that affect your play, or is it just the same?
I think it's the same. I just go out there and try to do my best each game, do what I can for the team, and if it comes, then it comes.
They have the Bluffton University Fall Classic this weekend. They're facing three teams from around the area, Trine from Indiana, Allegheny, and Marietta from the East. So it's going to be a tough weekend for this Bluffton University team.
I like to see them bounce back this week and this weekend from losing three straight and come out on top in this tournament.
And I'm sure Coach Yarnell will have them more than ready to take back and get this record back on the north side of 500.
Oh, most definitely.
They open conference play Saturday, September 30th, against their biggest rival inside of the conference, Hanover College.
And that wraps up the third week's edition of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us next week. This is Tyler Avila, joined here with Reed Mouse, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.